And agape love, just remind you, is the sacrificial kind of love that the Lord Jesus bestowed upon all of us. Sacrificial, self-sacrifice. He gave up everything that he had to save us. And then 1 Corinthians 13. Father, I just pray your word touches people's hearts today, that they open up and soften their minds and their hearts and their ears. Let them have ears who hear. And Lord, we pray for people to come to know you personally today. Because it's not about what we do or what we have. It's about who you are and what you did for us on the cross. Your agape love, your sacrifice of yourself, your rights, your privileges. You shed your blood. You were beaten and bruised. And the iniquities of us all were laid upon you. But when we can place our faith and trust in you and believe in you, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. And so, Lord, I pray your words touch people's hearts and change us. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As we're in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I've become a sounding brass of clanging cymbal. And though I have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I can remove mountains, but not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. This agape love. Love, that kind of sacrifice. And as we're going through sacrifice as an acronym, we did S. S is set your time with God. Set your priorities with the Lord. Spend time with Him. If we don't spend time with Him, then our problems seem to magnify. And as believers, we want to and desire to hide His Word in our hearts so we not sin against Him. And we spend time with Him in prayer. We spend time with Him. We set time with God in our priorities. And if we're not as believers, and we try and do things in our own way, in our own time, in our own methods, usually they don't work out so well. A, in sacrifice, is our attitude should be like Christ, where we give up everything just to serve, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul our might, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Our attitude should be like Christ. And then C is count the cost and take up your cross. Because it does cost things. Sometimes when people come to know Jesus, it can cost friendships. It'll cost hanging out in different priorities. We count the costs. And as believers, there are things that we no longer desire, but He changes us and makes us into His own image, and we want to desire godly and Christ-like things. R is we're ready for in season and out of season, ready to serve, ready to go, ready to give an answer for the hope we have in us. People will come up and talk to you. Why are you so joyful? Why are you so happy? Why can you get through these problems? Because we have the Lord Jesus, ready and in season and out of season. And the sacrifice today, it's obey His I instructions. And hopefully we'll get to F, follow Jesus, because we want to follow Him and we fear Him and we follow Him wholeheartedly, because what a friend we have in Jesus. But we're going to talk about obeying His instructions. Proverbs 19:27 says, "Stop listening to instruction, my son, and all you will stray from the words of knowledge." Stop listening to instructions, my son, and you'll stray from the words of knowledge. This word, His word, God-inspired word, is so holy, it is so wise, it is so amazing, it is the instructions of living and instructions of life. And we maybe have been a Christian for a short time and we don't know much because we haven't had a time to read the Bible. Or maybe we're at the other end of the spectrum where we've been a Christian for a long time and we read the Bible 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times, 10 times. And we might think we know it all. We're in that camp. Oh, I've learned it all from another Bible study. Oh, I've seen this. Oh, I read this before. That pastor's heard. Oh, It's all, oh, that's just old. I was talking to my brother who I got to witness to and lead to the Lord when my father passed away. And he has kind of stopped going to church, and he gets his church from people on TV. And so he's kind of stopping listening to instruction, because sometimes on TV there'll be false teaching going on. And then it's like, Mark, I've got to correct you with this, okay? And I said, when's the last time you've been to church? He says, oh, about 6 months ago. This conversation happened 2 weeks ago. And so I said, Mark, you got to get back into church. Get back to where you started going to church. Get back to the people that you're around. Because if you don't go to church, what happens is you become so into your own self. We were designed to be with each other. Like it or not, whether we get along with them or not, we were designed to be around each other, right? Warts and sweat and stink and problems and all. We have to do that. And so when you come to church or go to a church, you not only learn, but there are so many things that God has given you, talents and gifts, that you share with each other. You encourage each other. You build one another up. You care for one another and do all the one another's. But if you're sitting there and thinking that you're one of those people that you know it all, knowledge puffs up. You've read the Bible 10, 12 times, and you know it all, and learned it all in another Bible study, then maybe your walk is getting a little cold. It's exciting to read His Word. And sure, there are times you go, man, I'm in Leviticus, and it's hard to explain Leviticus and what's going on in Leviticus, but it's exciting to dig deep and get into the nuggets of truth. And we follow and we find the instructions. And then when we're committed to studying His Word and knowing His Word, then we apply the truth to our life so we are changed to become more like Christ. And it's not just knowledge, but knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And so this knowledge we have that we get from reading the Word is for us, but also for others. We're learned to change our lives. And we learn to change habits. And we learn to follow the instructions of the Lord rather than the wisdom of the world. We have the instructions of righteousness. So we learn to grow and change. And know that as we experience life, we can, as Paul says, count it all joy when things happen, when trials happen. I think the most miserable person in the world is a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, who's not filled with joy. Because we have joy. We have joy because of what Jesus did for us. And so we can go through all things that happen in our life, and we can be filled with joy. Now, just last February and March, there's some things going on in my life that I was kind of sad about. And I started focusing on the sadness and the problems and the things that are going on. And it wasn't until that I finally realized, duh, Pastor, what a friend we have in Jesus. I looked to Him. But sometimes in our lives, I wanted to, you know, have people have pity on me. And, you know, we're compassionate. People are compassionate. But we sometimes go, we want to have express all our sadness and all our stuff to other people so that they can go, oh yeah, I really, really, yeah, I understand. And that's compassion listening. But we can't find really answers to problems until we give everything up to Jesus and we look to Him and realize that He's working in our lives through the problems, through the trials, through the stresses, through the craziness in our life. Who is it when we're not filled with joy? But when we have Jesus, we're filled with joy. And this Word we have, it is instructions in righteousness. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Turn and we'll read it, where it's the Word of God that changes people's lives. And we want to be hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. 2 Timothy 3 and 16 and 17. 17. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. And 15, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase in more ungodliness. and their message will spread like cancer. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It's instructions in righteousness. And it's also in making for us to make sure we spread the word, be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This word is true. It changes people's lives. And we're to be approved workers. So what we know is we have to be listened to the instructions of the word and be ready with the word. And what is in the Bible, it is inspired. It's not what we in the Word can decide and judge what is right and what is wrong, what parts I will take out, what parts I like, what parts isn't there. It's rather, it's the Bible being the standard. The Bible is a standard for how we live our lives. It's not what we pick and choose. We don't want to follow some parts or other parts. And it's not to bringing up points just to cause problems, just to justify and to argue with. It is the whole counsel of God, and all Scripture is inspired, and is for instructions in righteousness. Now, let's go and think about these instructions of righteousness. Where we get instructions in righteousness? We get those, some instructions in righteousness in the Proverbs. Proverbs are full about instructions in righteousness. They're general truths that a person who seeks after Jesus. And it's general truths about we're more like to take care. And these general truths, it's not things that we can, are specific, but they're general truths. And if we live our lives this way and have faith in God and in Jesus, we have instructions in righteousness. The only way that we can be righteous, of course, is what? By believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as the Bible says. And in Romans, the Bible says that people have changed the truth for a lie. And the lie they believe is the things of the world. Evolution. The way that God created things. The way the lie that I can do things my own way. I can have it my way. I did it my way. The lie that I have not sinned. I don't need Jesus. And if you don't believe that you have sinned, then therefore I can do what I want, whenever I want, however I want, that will obviously lead to all sorts of different things and depravities. As you can see, it happened in the world. I can do it my way. It doesn't matter. You can't tell me what to do. That's my right. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. And he tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in his instructions, his righteousness, to be right is that we have to have a payment for our sin. And that was Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. Without a sacrifice of blood, there will be no remission of sin, it says in Hebrews. And that sacrifice was Jesus on the cross. Because he loved us so much that he would die for us. And did die for us on the cross. And so he took the punishment for the sins of us on him. And he paid the price. And he sets us free. And now if you don't think you're a sinner, that could be a problem. Because then you don't need a Savior. But we all have sinned. Think about the things. Have you ever lied? Have you ever cheated? Oh, I'm not that bad. I don't cheat. I cheat just a little bit on my tests. Right? I'm not that bad. I just tell a little white lie. I'm not that bad. We all have sinned to fall short of the glory of God. But instructions in righteousness. This word will make us point to Jesus. He is the one that makes us right. That means a right relationship with God. Instructions in righteousness. Let's go through a few in Proverbs. Proverbs 10:3. Turn with me to Proverbs in the Old Testament. We'll go through a few of these. And talk about some instructions and some things, some general ideas about righteousness. Proverbs 10:3. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desires of the wicked. The righteous soul, not grow hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. You know, we can choose to walk. When we choose to walk in righteousness, when we have that opportunity to believe in Jesus, he changes our life. And he makes us more like his son in spite of ourselves. And we follow him and we spend time in his word. And it will change us. Because there's a richness in our soul and he provides for your life. And it's amazing what we can feed on by just reading his word and on Jesus. Proverbs 10 and 3. Then we're in Proverbs 10 and 24. A few lines up. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. With God, there is hope, and he meets our desires. Delight. We delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And if you're delighting in God, he is already placing those desires in your heart. And there's a desire we have to be changed by him. There's a desire for holiness. If you've experienced that, the desire for holiness, where those things in the past just seem so crazy, I don't want to do that anymore. Those things that just are just so worldly. He puts the desires in our heart, a desire for holiness. How about a desire for peace? Don't we all desire peace? I need that peace, the peace that passes all understanding. How about a desire for rest? Come to you all who are weary, and I'll give you rest. How about a desire for righteousness and a desire for hope? He gives us unbelievable, amazing hope. Hope because our eternity destination is in heaven. Proverbs 10 and 29. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come of the workers of iniquity, the workers of sin. With God, there is joy. There is hope. The prospect of the righteous. If you're righteous, there's hope. This gladness, this hope. But the hope of the wicked, it will come to nothing because they're chasing after nothing. And everyone who is in the world, who is so worldly, is chasing after things that don't fulfill or satisfy their soul. There's a big empty heart hole in them. If only I had a bigger boat or a bigger house. If only I could provide more. If only whatever it is. It's the joy of coming to know Jesus that satisfies the soul. And with him, it's amazing. Remember the time of your salvation. Is there a time that you can remember in your testimony that you gave your life to Jesus? A day? A moment? Or you can be one of those ones where it's like, I just knew all my life, from 3 all the way on, that Jesus is my Lord. But remember the joy of your salvation, how you know that he is your Lord. And sometimes we forget, and we take that moment, or we take those times just for granted. 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. How we speak, he changes us. Have you ever noticed that in your walk, in your speaking, in your tongues, where you're speaking, where, you know, before you cussed like a sailor and now you're not? Those kind of things, right? Before you laugh at the dirty jokes and you're not anymore, you know what is acceptable. You're not being conforming to the world, but you're being transformed to discern what is acceptable and is right in God's eyes. So he changes us that way. There's also in righteousness, there's security in being righteous. Proverbs 11 and 8. Flip a couple pages up. Proverbs 11 and 8. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. Righteous is secure. So you know that no matter what happens, even if you're in trouble, even if you're facing all sorts of things like diseases or all sorts of things like possibly trouble from the law, all sorts of things like losing a home, all sorts of things like losing a job, the righteous man is received and delivered from trouble. Because the Lord allows those things for us to grow and to make us more like Christ so we can experience things, so we can understand, so we can take those things and go and minister to other people. Example in the Bible could be in Esther 7:10. Remember Haman? Haman, who went after Mordecai and Esther, and Haman is hung on his own gallows that he built for Mordecai, attacking the Jews. The righteous are safe. The righteous are provided for. 11:19. As the righteous leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. The truly righteous man attains life. And Jesus said, I came to give you life and life abundantly. And as a believer, isn't your life better than when you weren't a believer? It's amazing. It's abundant life. There are things in my life that I've experienced that I never would have experienced if I hadn't given my life to Christ. The opportunities to travel around the world, the opportunities to see others, the opportunities to minister to others, the opportunity to have a church given to us. That opportunity. If you're not a believer, I think if I didn't give my life to Christ, even I would have been sitting back in Canada, probably at the same bar stool every night. But Jesus provided, gave me a spouse to pull me out of that situation, to send me a one-way plane ticket to come all the way to all the way down here, right? And I said, okay, I'll do that. The truly righteous man attains life, but he who pursues evil gives to death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and life in the fullest, not fearing death. Not fearing death. The Lord gave me the opportunity to go visit a man who was a strong believer, who's been battling cancer for 12 years. And it was in remission for a while, because the first time he had cancer, he agreed to go through the chemo and all the years of struggle and the pain, and sometimes the medicine that you take almost kills you. But this time, he's calm. He's at peace. And he's almost 80 years old. And as I visited him, he said, you know what? No more. I know where I'm going. I'll be cured. Completely. I'll be in heaven. He doesn't fear death. And it was refreshing. He's confident and he's calm and the family's calm and at peace. He just wants to go home. He wants to go home. Proverbs 12:10. The righteous man regards life of an animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Even the thoughts and the mercies, even the way that they treat animals are cruel. And with animals, of course, we care for animals, you know. We're designed to look after animals, be provided for them. Doesn't mean we don't have to go out and shoot them and eat them, that's okay. But we treat them with respect. It's part of their creation. We care for them, you know. And that's what he's saying. And then in 12:26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way the wicked leads them astray. The righteous man has wisdom and discernment and to know what is true friendship, but the way of the wicked leads astray. Have you been led astray by friends, so-called friends? Right? Hey, come and do this. We won't get in trouble. Come on, try this. It won't hurt you. But the righteous is cautious with his friendship. Wisdom and careful of the friends you choose. And we'll skip ahead to 18 and 10. Flip with me to 18 and 10. There's a whole bunch more, but we'll just go 18 and 10 because time here. Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. It's a place of retreat, a place of protection, a place of strength. The Lord provides strength. Isaiah 32:17 says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever." So we find peace, and we find courage, and we find strength in a change of heart by being righteous in Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we'll say that we are the righteousness of God. We're clothed in His righteousness. And we are righteous because not of what we do, it's because of Jesus. And so are you when you place your faith in Christ. and trust in Jesus Christ. And so we seek Him and we find Him because He wants to have that relationship with us. And when we seek Him, we can find peace. And when we seek Him, we can find righteousness. And we seek Him, we find truth and grace and goodness and peace and love. And when we seek Him, we find everything that we've been looking for in the first place. Everything we need. Cling to Him. Run to Him. He is our unbreakable, strong tower. Father, thank You for Your word. And I just pray that as we listen to instructions of righteousness and the promises and the truth of Jesus Christ, that we all have a right relationship with You. But Lord, if there's someone here today who's never confessed with their mouth or believed in their heart that Jesus is Lord, today is the day of their salvation. You're calling them. Lord, Your word says, I will acknowledge You if You acknowledge Me in front of people. And so we do this publicly, not to embarrass people, to make people just understand how great and wonderful You are, Jesus. So Lord, if there's someone here today, I just ask that they pray from their heart a simple prayer like this. It could be their own words, or it could be the words that I'm saying. But it's from their heart. They believe that Jesus is Lord. They might say, Lord, I know I've messed up. I know I'm a sinner. Lord, thank You for paying the price for my sins. Lord, I believe in You. I want to know You. I trust in You. I place my faith and hope for eternal life in You and You alone. Lord Jesus, I love You. Give my life to You. Help me to grow. Help me desire You. Thank You for making me right. In Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anybody who's prayed that prayer for the first time, please raise your hand. Is anybody here? Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your word. Thank You that it touches people's hearts. Thank You that we can have a right relationship with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.